simply live your life trying not to be materially happy.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do with your life?
Well, do you mean in what way?
In whatever way.
Well, first of all, I think just to serve God.
Okay, and very to, nice. But what is God?
Anyone in front of me.
No, that's not a very scientific statement.
What do you mean?
Anyone in front of you is God? That means you don't know what God is.
What is God?
Suppose I said, you know, I don't know what example from physics would be, but you know, I just said, you know, anything in front of me is you know, the planet Jupiter or something.
Yeah.
You can't know. You would say that's not true. You have to know what is God.
Hey, well, I read this thing which has been really inspiring, that you can't you can't know God in your head, but you can love God, and if you love, then it draws you up and expands you, but if you think you know it, then you try and fit it into you. Is that what I mean?
Love is based on an attraction, knowledge of the lovable qualities and activities of the beloved. You have to know about God, then you're attractive.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's what fuels the desire.
Fuels what desire?
The desire for God.
You have to educate yourself. What is God?
Yeah, well, I suppose I must have some idea because that's what I desire. Like.
Okay, then you've come to the right place. So the next question is, do you want to learn?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, maybe not here.
Oh? You won't find any better place for understanding God than here. That is your choice, but I'm just telling you won't. If you want to understand God, then you have to become pure, because God is supreme pure. Now, how are you going to live a pure lifestyle?
Well, good to be disciplined, I think.
How disciplined? I mean, the point is, if you want to understand God, you have to become pure. Now, how are you going to learn how to live a pure lifestyle? That's just a minimum entry qualification.
How am I going to learn how to live a pure lifestyle?
Yeah. Don't be cheated just by thinking understanding God is some kind of metaphysical pursuit. No, it involves a qualitative shift in your life that you have to make. You have to purify your lifestyle.
Well, I do try, like I have been doing it.
The best way to understand God is to hear from God in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaking.
Yeah.
Now, there are so many versions of Bhagavad Gita, but most of them just distort what Krishna is saying. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have to find some place that teaches you how to always think of Krishna and become Krishna's devotee.
I am Krishna's devotee.
Then, you must do what Krishna wants. You have to understand what is Krishna. You have to do what Krishna wants.
Yes.
So how can you do that?
I think by continuing and doing what I have been doing.
Well, what's that?
Well, I go to philosophy.
It's speculation.
It's not.
It is. Speculation.
That's what the word philosophy, no. People think of it as speculation.
To understand Bhagavad Gita, if that is your goal, then you have to do what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Always think of me. So you have to find out about Krishna so you can always think of Krishna. It's not that Krishna is everyone in front of you. This is impersonalism. It's actually offensive to say everything and everyone is Krishna. Then that means that basically there's no Krishna, because everything, you know, it's everyone and everything. There's no distinction.
Or a part of Krishna.
And that's a big difference. Everything is Krishna's energy, a part of Krishna. That means everything is meant to be used in Krishna's service.
Mm. I was reading this book yesterday, which was saying, was about this scientist who had discovered that in every part of creation, like everything is contained in every little bit. Mm. Every little section has a sort of has the hole in it. Like in the Upanishad, there's this piece which in the space in the heart where everything is.
Yes, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that he is the super soul in everyone's heart. But he explains that there are two entities in everyone's heart, the individual soul and the super soul. They're equal in quality, but different in quantity.
What do you mean?
You are qualitatively equal with God, but you are different in quantity. Just like the drop of seawater has the same salty quality as the ocean, but the seawater is different in quantity from this one little tiny drop. So you can never be God, and no one else can ever be God.
Well, not me as an individual.
But that you are, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? He says you are eternally an individual, and he says he's also eternally an individual. This is what I mean. So many people are using Bhagavad Gita and not teaching it, just making some whatever out of it, but they do not teach Bhagavad Gita. If you were properly studying Bhagavad Gita, you'd know. In the second chapter, Krishna says, we are eternally individual.
Wait, what's this
word? I'm speaking the Sanskrit verse from Bhagavad Gita. You asked for the word. I took you literally.
I'm learning Sanskrit.
Mm-hmm. But why you not know these basic things?
Which basic?
Krishna says in second chapter, the Tvevaham Jatinasam, the Tom Neme Janadava. Never was there a time when
I was not
an individual. And never will there be a time when you are Arjuna, not an individual. The same thing for all these kings who gathered on the battlefield. In other words, Krishna is asserting that individuality is an eternal fact. Not material.
What's the word for the Sanskrit word?
Yeah, you want?
Gita?
Get me a Bhagavad Gita. Turn to chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Text 12, page 88. Page 88 you have?
Yes.
See? It's repeated again and again. Nah, never. Not I, not you. Not Janaripa, not the kings on this battlefield.
I. But that's not individual.
How can I not be individual? This is the problem. All over Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, aham, I, mom, me. And then people say, oh, this is not individual. That's why they don't understand Bhagavad Gita.
But you say, I is individual.
Damn right. How can other Bhagavad be otherwise?
That's like saying, I am the body.
No! This is the problem. This is why you've been misled. Krishna's not referring to the material body. He's referring to the spirit soul.
Is that the soul that's like jiva?
You have a little bit of knowledge, and it's like someone knowing some pop versions of quantum mechanics, you know? Bhagavad Gita as it is, that's what you need. Not Bhagavad Gita as someone would speculate and like it to be. Here, you can read the purport. You can read it out loud?
Yeah.
No, no, not you. I didn't mean you. You're not an individual.
You want me to read the purport?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
In the Vedas, in the Katha Upanishad, as well as in the
Upanishad.
It is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the maintainer of innumerable living entities. In terms of their different situations, according to individual work and reaction of work, that Supreme Personality of Godhead is also, by his plenary portions, alive in the heart of every living entity. Only sentient persons who can see within and without the same Supreme Lord can actually attain to perfect and eternal peace.
Let's skip the Sanskrit. Go on. The same Vedic truth.
The same Vedic truth given to Arjuna is given to all persons in the world who pose themselves as very learned, but factually have but a poor fund of knowledge. The Lord says clearly that he himself, Arjuna, and all the kings who are assembled on the battlefield are eternally individual beings, and that the Lord is eternally the maintainer of the individual living entities, both in their conditioned and in their liberated situations. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Individual Person, and Arjuna, the Lord's Eternal Associate, and all the kings assembled there are individual eternal persons. It is not that they did not exist as individuals in the past, and it is not that they will not remain eternal persons. Their individuality existed in the past, and their individuality will continue in the future without interruption. Therefore, there is no cause for lamentation for anyone.
Okay, now you go into what?
Yeah.
What you're playing around with. Go ahead.
The next
one. Yeah.
The Mayavadi theory that after liberation, the individual soul separated by the covering of Maya, or illusion, will merge into the impersonal Brahman and lose its individual existence, is not supported herein by Lord Krishna, the Supreme Authority. nor is the theory that we only think of individuality and the conditioned state supported herein. Krishna clearly says herein that in the future also the individuality of the Lord and others, as is confirmed in the Upanishads, will continue eternally. This statement of Krishna's is authoritative, because Krishna cannot be subject to illusion. If individuality were not a fact, then Krishna would not have stressed it so much, even for the future. The Mayavadi may argue that the individuality spoken of by Krishna is not spiritual but material. Even accepting the argument that individuality is material, then how can one distinguish Krishna's individuality? Krishna affirms his individuality in the past and confirms his individuality in the future also. He has confirmed his individuality in many ways, and in personal Brahman has been declared to be subordinate to him.
Yes, that's the 14th chapter. Krishna says, Brahmanohi pratishtaham. The impersonal Brahman is based upon me, is subordinate to me.
Krishna has maintained spiritual individuality all along. If he is accepted as an ordinary conditioned soul, an individual consciousness, then his Bhagavad Gita has no value as authoritative scripture. A common man with all the four defects of human frailty is unable to teach that which is worth hearing. The Gita is above such literature. No mundane book compares with the Bhagavad Gita. When one accepts Krishna as an ordinary man, the Gita loses all importance. The Mayavadi argues that the plurality mentioned in this verse is conventional, and that it refers to the body. But previous to this verse, such a bodily conception is already condemned. After condemning the bodily conception of the living entity, how was it possible for Krishna to place a conventional proposition on the body again? Therefore, individuality is maintained on spiritual ground, and is thus confirmed by the great acharyas like Sri Rama Muja and others. It is clearly mentioned in places in the Gita that this spiritual individuality is understood by those who are devotees of the Lord.
Yeah, that's why you have a problem understanding it.
Those who are envious of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no bona fide. Have no bona fide access to the great literature. The non-devotee's approach to the teachings of the Gita is something like that of a bee licking on a bottle of honey. One cannot have a taste of honey unless one opens the bottle. Similarly, the mysticism of the Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotees, and no one else can taste it, as it is stated in the 4th chapter of the book. Nor can the Gita be touched by persons who envy the very existence of the Lord. Therefore, the Mayavadi explanation of the Gita is a most misleading presentation of the whole truth. Lord Chaitanya has forbidden us to read commentations made by the Mayavadis, and warns that one who takes to such an understanding of the Mayavadi philosophy loses all power to understand the real mystery of the Gita. If individuality refers to the empirical universe, then there is no need of teaching by the Lord. The plurality of the individual soul and of the Lord is an eternal fact, and it is confirmed by the Vedas and above mentioned.
Okay. Okay, you've just had your first lesson in Bhagavad Gita. Your first lesson. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Go get something to eat, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Got it pretty deep in there.